Well, beloved, we just got done me reading while you stood and heard Psalm 73. And in this particular edition, it says that this is a psalm of a gentleman called Asaph. I believe Psalm 73, in and of itself, we could take it out of the scriptures, and it becomes a beautiful blueprint of everyday life and how the Christian is to respond. It starts off with a man that is extremely aggravated and in trouble. He's simply upset. He's fully in total consternation of what he sees around him. Now, he's looking horizontally right now. He's simply looking as a man to the world at eye level. And he sees many people prospering. He sees many of these people who are prospering are people that have wealth, they have means, they have position and status in society, and they never seem to have a bad day. But then he also looks around in that horizontal gaze, and he sees people like himself, those who, if you notice how he ends the psalm, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." So even though he's aggravated, even though he seems to be venting to heaven, and there's nothing wrong in venting to God and asking God the tough question, why or how come, nothing wrong with that. But notice, he's talking now about another segment of the people to whom he lives. Those who have drawn near to God. Those who love the Lord. And he sees two people, like we see today. We see goats on one hand and sheep on the other. The sheep seem to be taken to the slaughter by our enemies. We just got done reading a letter from our dear Pastor Sergei there in southern Siberia. And beloved, the government is doing everything to squelch their ability to share the message with other Russian-speaking people around the world by using social media. Let that system slow down so the picture is jerky and you can't hear or see too well. So you get aggravated and you simply turn the sermon off. And therefore, the gospel is now being cut off by the means of a very satanically demonic controlled government, even to this day. But did you notice how it begins? Look at verse 1. This might surprise you, but when you read Romans chapter 9, Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, the Apostle Paul takes a break in the book of Romans, and he asks and then he answers a question. Why were the Jews in the middle of the first century so bent in rejecting the gospel of Christ? And he goes into the doctrine of election and predestination. He even touches the doctrine of reprobation, that God leaves others in their sin and to their own devices. But he also says something in chapter 9 that makes a lot of people upset in our churches. Paul says this, "Not all Israel is Israel." Paul was implying that there are two Israels. And we saw that in John chapter 8 in our reading, where the Jews in John chapter 8 were claiming that Abraham was their father. And Jesus said to them, "The devil is your father." Jesus said to his own Jewish countrymen who were opposing him in John 8, "If Abraham was truly your father, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you're claiming to be the sons and daughters of Abraham, while at the same time plotting to kill me. This Abraham would not do." Look at verse 1. "Truly God is good to Israel." May I ask you a question, dear Christian? And hopefully this does not upset your theological cart. which Israel? Truly God is good to Israel. But which one? He clarifies, even to such as are of a clean heart. Psalm 73, verse 1. He starts off, truly God is good to Israel. Okay, which one? Which Israel? Even to such. He's now defining the Israel of that first part of the verse. Even to such as are of a clean heart. Well, since man is born in sin, and since man has inherited the fall of Adam, and that natural depravity is passed down from one parent to another child, who in turn, when they become a parent, passes it down to their children. Beloved, we enter this world with an unclean heart. So how does a sinner born with an unclean heart, meaning an unclean nature, a deprived nature, who is estranged from God, the enemy of God, and separated from the life of God, and who is an alien and a stranger to God's kingdom, how do I become, or how do I get a clean heart? Do I turn to religion? Do I turn to ceremony? Do I go through a certain ritual? Do I obey some type of religious system of doing this and doing that, or abstaining from this and abstaining from that? How do I achieve a clean heart? Only by being born from above. Only by being born from above. Hold your place here and turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 2. In our past controversies here as a congregation, here is where the fur hit the fan. Shall I share it with you? Look at verses 28 and 29. Now, everybody in this room knows that Paul was born of the tribe of Benjamin. Therefore, by natural birth, physical birth, he was a Jew in the flesh. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin was one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Benjamin was one of the sons of Jacob. Jacob was the son of Isaac. Isaac was the son of Abraham. Abraham was a descendant of Noah, and Noah was a descendant of Adam. All right? I think I'm clear. Paul was a Jew in the flesh. But notice how he describes what a real Jew is. Are you ready? Look at verse 28. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. What was the greatest thing that Paul, one of the greatest things in Philippians chapter 2 that he was proud of? I was born and circumcised on the eighth day. That was one of his badges. Not only was he a Pharisee of a Pharisee, not only was he blameless in front of God's law in his own estimation, the very first thing out of the gate was his physical circumcision. Paul is saying, to be a biblical Jew, it has nothing to do with a physical surgery or an act of surgery on a male body part. Read verse 29. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of what? The heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. And beloved, when I expounded that in this congregation, some people, the fur hit the fan. Paul is saying physical circumcision was commanded, but physical circumcision never saved anyone. Question, if circumcision was part of salvation, how do you circumcise a female? So only boys get to heaven because of a surgery? Paul was emphasizing the Jews of John 8. They were emphasizing the external religion that they had come up with. But there was no heart in the matter. There was no life to that. Here they are claiming we are Abraham's sons and daughters, and at the same time, under their breath, they're plotting to kill the Son of God. So you take this little bit of information, now go back to Psalm 73, verse 1, and it ought to fall into place. Others years ago had a hard time seeing it fall into place. Truly, God is good to Israel. Well, which Israel? Even to such as are of a clean heart. Beloved, when the Bible refers to a clean heart, it has nothing to do with your cholesterol buildup. It's talking about your right relationship with God. And how does one become right with God? They must be born again. They have to have the foreskin of their heart. Not that organ pumping, but the nature, that fallen nature. The foreskin must be removed. And then turn with me to Philippians 2. Philippians 3. And then I'll shut up on this point. Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, which he established in his second missionary journey. All right? You find that in Acts 16 and forward. And he has a congregation of mixed people. And by mixed, I mean there are saved Jews sitting in a bench or on the floor next to a saved Gentile. And notice how Paul describes himself and this mixed bag of people. Ready? Look at verse 3. And again, when I mention this, the fur kept flying. Philippians 3:3. I want everyone to look at it. I want you to see where I'm coming from. For we are the circumcision. Excuse me? Gentiles were not circumcised in the body. But he uses the pronoun we, including himself. You know English, maybe better than me. The pronoun we means Paul is including himself with his audience. True? And the audience is a mixed bag of people. Jews, saved, non-Jews, saved by Paul during his visit. The Gentiles normally were not circumcised, but the Jewish men that were in that church had been circumcised. But now he says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And notice, and have no confidence in the flesh. What is he referring to when he says we have no confidence in the flesh? He's referring to physical circumcision as opposed to spiritual circumcision, which I gave to you in Romans chapter 2. So who's a true Jew? Anyone who's been born again. Anyone who's trusting in Christ to be Lord and Savior of their life. I can care less what nationality they came from. This is a true Jew. And so therefore, beloved, I want to shock you all the more. Many of those right now in Israel who call themselves Jews are not. They are not God's people at all. Well, may God choose to bless his word.